Here's a piece of trivia for you. In the Book of Common Prayer, the creed is said before the sermon in order that everyone gets good sound doctrine before the priest speaks. And in the BAS, it's after the sermon in order to remind you of what you should have heard during the sermon. So in our order of service, the creed or our affirmation of faith has been appearing in different spots. It's not now. You'll get it in a moment, so hang on, folks. So have you ever played peepo with a child? Used to, it's where you go, peepo. No? There's a whole book called Peepo that I used to read to my children at night. And we would play for far too long when they were meant to be going to sleep because it was just so much fun. That wonderful moment where you reveal yourself and it's, despite however many times you do it, it's always a surprise. It's a great way for those of us who've got experience with babies and toddlers to keep them occupied. And it doesn't stop with childhood. Most of us love surprises, at least nice ones. Some people, not myself, although a previous associate priest who may be in Campbell River now, even love the kind of horror movies that make you jump regularly through them. It's the way we get our adrenaline flowing, and just for a moment we have that sense of wonder and surprise again. A wonder that's exciting and exhilarating and almost childlike. And so we come to the Emmaus Road story. And in that there is an unfathomable, overwhelming surprise at having seen risen life, that moment of wonder and of revelation and absolute joy. And that's the moment that we are invited to share as we gather here in worship. And in fact, any time we stop and pray or think or read our scriptures or seek God in meditation. But when we gather together, particularly though not exclusively in the sharing of bread and wine in this Eucharist, we are invited to that wonder of seeing Christ again. To open our eyes to the wonder of Christ being with us always. But we are reminded in this moment to encounter Christ anew. Or as John Bell of the Iona community, whose song we've just sung before the gospel reading, as he said at one conference I was at, I'm going to try the accent, it's not very good, but you're invited to grasp God and be grasped in return. If we were to take this as a non-literal story, a parable of grasping resurrection life, these two in discussion are perhaps the agents of their own growth and revelation. That in this fabulous story, they come to a revelation that despite having lost Jesus, Christ is with them all the time. And it's the enormity of this revelation that comes to them that causes them to return to the disciples in the upper room. In such an understanding, this alternative way of looking at the story, there is no actual stranger on the road, but instead an ever-growing knowledge that comes from the Spirit within these two individuals. Just some food for thought there. It was brought up in Sermon Circle this week, and I've been pondering that as I've walked through my journey with these scriptures this week, a non-literal alternative to these stories. But to return to the story itself, the stranger that meets these two on the road is certainly an interesting companion, one that impresses them with knowledge of and ability to share the scripture story and to expound the biblical background to the life and death of Messiah. They don't, though, reach their moment of revelation until they share in the familiar action of breaking bread. Suddenly, their eyes are opened. And all of our cliches about revelation can be used. The penny drops, the light bulb goes on, it all becomes clear, the light dawns, etc. This amazing moment, it's him, it's Jesus, and then he's gone. And we too can share in that moment, in being with Christ. Before we begin worship, we always pray, the altar party always prays, that through God's Spirit we will know Christ with us here. Not just know more about Christ or about our faith, but to know Christ as we sing, as we pray, as we listen to the words of Scripture, as we share in bread and wine. To know Christ within us and around us, that we too can know that Christ is with us. In this story from chapter 24 of Luke's Gospel, these two friends, of which we only have one name, Cleopas, are discussing the strangeness of the days, still burdened with that sense of loss at the death of Jesus, and not knowing what to make of the reports that are being spread about Jesus being seen again alive. Approached on that journey by this stranger, who takes an interest in their discussion. Now we're told their eyes are kept from recognizing him, not actually being able to see Christ right in front of them. That's also been a cause of speculation this week, and we discussed it at length in Sermon Circle on Wednesday. What was it that prevented them seeing? I wonder if it's a commentary about how difficult we find it to grasp the idea, the very idea of resurrection life. Or perhaps it's a commentary on what grief looks like, how grief prevents us from seeing beyond itself. But let us consider this. Perhaps we have self-imposed limitations, our own perhaps blinkered approach that prevents us from seeing Christ at work every day because it falls outside of our expectations or what we would like to happen. To continue with the story, they're engaged in conversation by this stranger, piecing together all the disparate parts of Scripture to make up a full picture of the calling of Messiah and the reasons behind suffering, his suffering and death, along with the glory that was to result from that. And they listen. Later on, they talk of their hearts burning within them as they hear the Scriptures brought to life. Again, for our consideration, are we listeners? Do we listen allowing Scripture to affect us and disturb us, to enliven and enlighten our own faith? Do we listen to God speaking in these ancient texts and stories? And then they offer hospitality. As the stranger looks to be continuing his journey on, they welcome him to come in and share a meal with them. This was and still is very much a part of Middle Eastern culture, just as you find it in India and Africa, never to allow a stranger to leave uncared for. Hospitality is paramount. And a question for us again is whether we make Christ welcome in our lives, in our community, in our worship, in our services. Do we welcome and care for the stranger, the needy, the hungry, our neighbors? Do we as a church and as disciples of Christ welcome and seek to serve Christ in both friend and stranger? Do we seek the Christ who is in all creation? And as yesterday's Earth Day reminds us, for whom we have responsibility for care and nurture, giving thanks for the abundance given in creation while being stewards of the gifts that we have. And then in our story, in the familiar, the act of table fellowship, they see Jesus. It all comes together and they rush to tell their friends how, as our gospel reading says, and as the beautiful window in our Walking Together chapel says, he had been made known to them in the breaking of bread. Their encounter with Jesus was all tied up with this process that moved them from not seeing through genuine and open listening, engaging, to offering hospitality, and finally in sharing that hospitality in all those things they saw the risen life. And I want to remind us all of our need for all these things to be a part of our worship here and throughout our journey of faith. We can see Christ not just in church, but in our everyday living. We can meet Jesus in the most unexpected places and people, if only we are prepared to. Jesus said that when we minister to the least of people, then we minister to him. St. Paul says that in entertaining strangers. Some have entertained angels, messengers of God. Our attitude to others has an effect on whether we will see Christ or not. When we live lives of hospitality and generosity, when we live lives of warmth and prayer, we will see Christ. If we read our scriptures, opening ourselves to how God may speak to us from and through them, we will see Christ. If we share fellowship with anyone, breaking down the barriers we are so prone to build around ourselves, we will see Christ. For at Christ's table, all are invited to the feast. We are called, I believe, to have an attitude to see Christ again and again in this and every gathering. In our sharing, in prayer and worship, in our welcoming of friend and stranger, in our calling to serve one another and the world outside. And we are called to allow Christ to change us, that we may see Christ more and more in the world around us, even where we haven't seen Christ before. May God bless us with such a vision and such a transformation. Amen, and thanks be to God.